You know, one of the questions that I'm sometimes asked as a pastor when I meet with someone is, what am I supposed to do? And what's implied in that question is, what does God want me to do? Now, if it's a specific situation or issue, we'll focus in on that and we'll go over and we'll talk about biblical solutions to the issue, to the problem. But sometimes a person will ask a much broader and maybe even more important question like this: what does God want me to do with my life? You know, somebody a while back asked me this very question. The person is newly retired, starting off the retirement years, and asking the question, what does God want me to do with my life? Now, there are a variety of answers that we could find and solutions in the Bible. Amen? It's filled with answers. But today, we're just going to take a look at one answer to this question. What does God want me to do with my life? I believe this is an important question and a question that every Christian, a Christ follower, someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection, should be asking of themselves. What does God want me to do with my life? And although there are a variety of answers we can look up in the Bible, today we're just going to take a look at one particular answer. It's all part of the sermon series called Life-Changing Verses. Each week, we're honing in on one specific verse in the Bible. We're certainly studying the verses around it, but we're taking a look at one specific verse. And I truly believe that if you understand the verse and you apply it to your life, it can be life-changing. God can use it to transform your life. And I'm hoping week after week you're compiling an arsenal of these little scripture cards, because I'm not having sermon notes for this series, just these scripture cards that you can find them in your bulletin. And it warmed my heart this week as someone told me that they were putting the scripture cards on their refrigerator, each one, week by week, and so that they can go back and take a look at these life-changing verses. Well, today, if you take a look at the scripture card, the small little scripture card you have in your bulletin, you can see we've landed in the book of 2 Corinthians. Here are some of the basics of 2 Corinthians. It's a letter in the New Testament of our Bibles. It was written by the Apostle Paul, probably around 55 AD. The recipients were Christians in a new church in Corinth. He established this church on his second missionary journey. He wrote several letters to this church. One of them is lost, another one we have in our Bible called 1 Corinthians. Here's the background to 2 Corinthians. This church is struggling, and the main reason is they've been infiltrated by false teachers, challenging Paul and his authority and his credibility. So he responded as he wrote back, giving them an explanation of his change in plans, a certainty of his coming, and rich truths of the Christian faith. And today, we are going to take a look at some rich truths of the Christian faith. Let's take a look together at what God's Word says in 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bible or you look at a pew Bible, you're welcome to open up and find it in the New Testament right after 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 to 20. Let's take a look at these verses together. I'll go ahead and read them for us right now. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 20. We now turn to a teaching time. I'm going to go through these verses. We're going to look at them verse by verse. So let's take a look at these together. Therefore, he says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. We learn that the word therefore is a directional that leads you back to something that was previously stated. In this case, It's a reference to verses 14 and 15, which I'll read to you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. And what we see is that it's the big if. This verse is not true for everyone. It's only true for those who live in union with Jesus Christ, those who have truly opened up their heart. And what does it mean to be in union with Christ? It's a dynamic, living, spiritual union and intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. It's all made possible when a person opens up his or her heart and believes the truth of the Bible, that Jesus is the Son of God, and he defeated death on the cross by his death, and that he defeated death and came back alive again. And he died on that cross to pay the punishment for their sins. When you do that, you come in union with Christ and you have this dynamic, living, spiritual union. That's those folks, this verse is true for them. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The new creation has come. It's talking about a new life as a new person that began for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. This verse is referring to what we call the miracle of genuine conversion. This is the way it's stated in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. God made you alive with Christ, that you come alive spiritually, that you have this new life in Christ. You know, back in August of 1985, there was a night that I fell down on my knees in the backyard of my parents' home, right next to their pool, and I opened up my heart and I believed in Jesus. I had some teenagers who had witnessed to me and told me that I could have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, my life was not going well, and I decided to take them up on the offer. And I went down on my knees and I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, after I did that, I got up and I looked around, seeing if anyone saw me do this, wondering what this was all about, not knowing what was going to happen. But I can tell you that my life dramatically changed at that moment of conversion. You know, the way I describe it to people, it was like blinders were taken off. I began to see the world in a whole new way, in a way I'd never known before. And God was working in my heart. And one of the things that God did for me, I was living and working in New York City at that point, and God softened my heart for homeless people. There were a lot of homeless people in New York and still are today, but there were many back there in the late 1980s. And I remember God gave me this big heart of love for homeless people, so much so that I started to volunteer at a homeless shelter for runaway teenagers called Covenant House. Anyone ever hear of Covenant House in New York City? I was a child care volunteer there for those teenagers, and I began to read the Bible every day on the subway, and I began to get involved with a youth group, and all these things started happening. And it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with what God was doing in my life. I experienced the miracle of conversion. And he tells us that when you're converted, when you come to Jesus Christ and this miracle takes place, the old has gone. Meaning that former self before Christ that was dominated by darkness, loneliness, emptiness, all that is now over. He says, behold, it's not written in the NIV, but in the original language, it's the word behold, an exclamation, pay attention. The new is here, exclamation point, meaning there's new life in Christ, he says. There's new life in Christ. You know, the fact is, and the Bible teaches, that when a person becomes a Christian, there's a new person. There's a new you, a better you that comes. You experience a new birth. Jesus says you must be born again. God's Spirit comes in and begins to change your life. You become a new person, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're given a new title. The most popular title for Christians in the New Testament is saint, holy ones. You become a saint. You become a new person. You're given this new birth. You're given this new purity. You're not only forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future, because Jesus paid the punishment in full. You're cleansed and purified on the inside by the blood of Jesus. You're given this new disposition. You're now disposed to love God, to serve God, to know God. You have this new power within you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit within the life of those who believe in Jesus. And you're given a new community. You come together with other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's called the church. And you have this new relationship when you become a Christian. You now have a dynamic, loving, personal union with the living, loving God of the Bible. You have a relationship with Him, a love relationship. And someday the Bible promises that you will get a brand new body. Does that sound good? These bodies of ours are wearing out, if you haven't figured that out so far. But someday, we're going to get a new body. Isn't this great? Take a look at the new you. All made possible by Jesus Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that you become a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Can I hear an amen to that? He says, all this is from God. The new life in union with Christ was all accomplished by God. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't work for it. You weren't better than anyone else. God made sure that He worked in your heart to lead you to faith in Christ. And He reconciled us to Himself through Christ. That Jesus Christ's death, His resurrection, removed the barrier between us and God, so that those who believe have a right and harmonious relationship with God, because we're forgiven of all of our sin. Reconciliation. If you heard that word before, are you familiar with that word? It's the key word in this passage today. In this verse, he says, we are reconciled. He reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Well, this is what it means within the context here. God not only pardons and forgives Christians of all their sin, but He reaches out to them to establish a forever close, personal, harmonious friendship. Isn't that beautiful? We're reconciled with a holy God when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. All this is from God, who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This involves serving others by bringing them the great news that God has provided a way for people to be reconciled with God. You know that every day, I think we all know this, but every single day we are given opportunities to reach out to people with the love of Jesus. Am I right? Now, you don't need to be intimidated by this to think I'm speaking about going on a street corner and handing out tracts, or going door to door and ringing the doorbell and saying, if you die tonight, where will you go? I'm talking about the people you already know, the people in your sphere of influence. We all have many, many people that we know, friends, family, neighbors, acquaintances, co-workers, the list goes on. We know many, many people, and each day God gives us opportunities to witness, to share the love of Christ with people. You know, today, in today's world, there's so many ways you can do that. If you're on Facebook, you can send a Facebook message. You can email somebody. You can send someone a card. You can call someone on the phone, or you can do it one-on-one. Think of all the variety of ways that God could use for you to minister to someone else. Now, according to this verse, here's an opening line that you might want to consider that I want you to think about today. You know, when you come in contact with somebody this week, simply say something like this. Did you know that God has provided a way for us to be His friend? Use that as like an opening, letting them know that they could be reconciled with God. They could be friends with God. They could know God. God has provided a way for us to be His friend. I want you to think about that statement. We're going to come back to that in a little while. He goes on in verse 19 to say that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 19 really is just a further explanation of verse 18. He just fleshes it out in a greater way, meaning God has made it possible for for every person to be reconciled to himself by means of Christ's death on a cross. And if you believe in Jesus, your sins are forgiven forever. And he's committed to us this message of reconciliation, that this great news that people can become a friend of God needs to be shared. It needs to be explained by every Christian. That's verse 19. And now we come to our main verse of the morning, and I'll close off with this verse. Verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Well, the question that comes up when you look at this verse is, what does it mean to be Christ's ambassador? Well, just a simple response to that would be, you're God's representative to the world. If you're a Christian here this morning and you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are a representative of Jesus Christ to the world. You're representing Him. You are anointed and appointed to be His ambassador. Here's a further explanation. I wrote this. Christians have been chosen by God to be His representatives to the world. We have been anointed and appointed and given the privilege and duty to faithfully and accurately proclaim the message of reconciliation between God and people through Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says that He will make His appeal through us as we communicate God's Word. And what's the message that we are to bring to the world? What are we supposed to say? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And another way to put it, as I showed you, simply stating to somebody, someone that you already know, someone in your sphere of influence, it could be a neighbor, coworker, friend, someone you're standing online at the Acme with, and just say, did you know that God has provided a way for us to be His friend? God has provided a way for us to be reconciled to Him. And then you can share how God made that possible through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the message that we bring to the world. So, what does God want me to do with my life? You know, that is an important question that I believe that every single Christian must ask himself or herself. And we know from the Bible today in 2 Corinthians 5:20, the answer to that is be Christ's ambassador. Be an ambassador for Christ. Go out into the world and represent Jesus Christ and represent Jesus well, letting people know that they can be reconciled with a holy God. Because the fact is, when you are a Christian, you are Christ's ambassador. That's what the Bible teaches. So you know what that means? Try this one on. You are Christ's ambassador disguised as a carpenter if you're a carpenter. You're Christ's ambassador disguised as a teacher if you're a teacher here today. You're Christ's ambassador disguised as a retiree, many people in the room. You're Christ's ambassador disguised as a bank employee. You're Christ's ambassador disguised as a nurse. You're Christ's ambassador disguised as a police officer. You're disguised as a student because truly you are called to be Christ's ambassador. You could fill in the blank, whatever it is that God has called you to do in your life. First and foremost, you've been called to be Christ's ambassador. How might we possibly apply this to our lives? I'm going to close with the application. I want you to think about these things as you leave here today, as you go out there into the world, as you think about what you're going to be doing this week and the people that you're going to encounter in your sphere of influence. Number one, you've got to embrace your calling as Christ's ambassador. You've got to realize this is what God has called me to be. I am Christ's ambassador. Number two, make a list of people you already know and begin to pray for them. You know, maybe even today, this afternoon, you could even write down a list or do it mentally and say, here are the people I'm likely to come in contact with, or maybe I'm friends with on Facebook, or maybe I could send an email to them. Maybe I'll send a card out to them. Maybe I'll give this longtime friend from high school or college a call. Number three, look for opportunities to represent Christ and share the message of reconciliation. when you walk out of your door, when you're going out into the world, you got to have your eyes open. You got to be looking around, looking for opportunities, looking for ways that you can share this great message, that they can be reconciled with a holy God. And simply let people know they can become a friend of God. It's a simple way of putting reconciliation. That you can become a friend of God. That He's provided a way for you to become His friend. You can email, Facebook, phone call, go in person, send a card. There's many ways. And you got to remind yourself often, I am Christ's ambassador. First and foremost, I am Christ's ambassador. I am Christ's representative. I represent Jesus to the world. I'm going out there today to be His ambassador. You got to remind yourself often that you are Christ's ambassador. So, church family, as a church family, we realize and we understand from the Bible that first and foremost, we are Christ's ambassadors to the world, bringing the great news of God's reconciliation to humanity. You know what? It's our great calling. That's what we have been called to do as the body of Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and let's state our verse together if you want to look at it at the PowerPoint or at your scripture card. But let's together on three. Let's say the verse. We'll say the address at the end. Are you ready? One, two, three. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.